I'm going to tell you right up front, I hope you enjoyed soaking that moment, this moment of joy and love and peace, because I'm going to ruffle feathers. Ready? Do I have your permission to ruffle feathers? All right. I have a confession before I ruffle feathers, so there's kind of this back and forth here. I want to confess and tell you a little bit of a secret about something. You're all probably... Oh, you're probably thinking way, way crazy things. I'll get right to it. I want to tell a story about one of the first times Natalie and I were here. If you remember when, through the candidating process and through interviews, I came myself to those. And then you all were gracious and kind enough to invite us out to a cookout here during the Labor Day picnic. Full confession time, I skipped out on my church's service that I was currently serving at. Thankfully that Sunday we had a great combined community service that I was preaching the first half of, and then I skedaddled as soon as I said amen and right off the platform in the car from West Newton and headed over this way over to Uniontown. And we haven't looked back, and it's been fantastic ever since. But when we came in that day, many of you don't know, because you all assumed and we showed up when you all were heading down to the picnic. We got here while Matt was still preaching. And, love Matt. We're thankful for him. This isn't a confession about Matt. The confession is that when we came in, I noticed two things. First off, that I hadn't noticed, because most of my meetings and my time with you and those interviews and everything were downstairs. But it was the first time we entered through the upstairs. And as new guests, we felt that rub of, oh, should we stay here? Should we go? Should we come back? Should we like sneak in the back? We ended up just taking a drive around the community for a couple minutes and then made our way back here. So it wasn't too long. Pat Matt on the back, I love his preaching, and you're going to be able to hear it in a few weeks coming up. So nothing against him. When I came in, the two things that caught my eye the most were one, and many of you already know this, was this beautiful green carpet. That is here throughout that has stood the test of time for 50 years. I'm thankful for it. We're not going to talk about that from there. But the second thing that I noticed was a sign out front in the lobby there. And this sign, again, this was just happenstance. It's not because of what I'm going to talk about. It was a sign that's no longer hanging on the wall that has our churches, our fellowships, our denominations, unofficial, official slogan on it. Anybody, show of hands, who knows the fellowship's unofficial, official slogan? Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. And I come to you with this confession and ruffling of feathers this morning because I have tried and tried and tried to wrap my brain around this concept. And this might be a weird concept that is coming from your pastor who's about to open the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible today. Because when I saw that when we first came in, I had this mixed, and I still have this mixed feeling about it. Because on one hand, I love the phrase that as a church, as a body of believers, we should stick to the whole Bible, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Amen? You're allowed to say amen. There we go. I love it. Because in reality, in all truth and all reality, if I am standing up here and I'm not speaking about the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, there's no reason for me to be standing up here. Amen? Thank you. I love that we stand on the truth of Scripture. We don't sugarcoat it. We don't add or subtract anything to it. And I hope that's the same case as I handle the text as well. That we should stand and build our lives on the firm foundation of God's Word. However, I'm very conflicted just because, and again, this is, I'm all new to Grace Brethren churches. I'm new to all of this. I have that side extension, and it wasn't a hard jump to learn all of the ins and outs of all that we believe and how we function, because, you know, Lancaster Bible College is like a sister college to Grace College, and a bunch of those that are in the fellowship currently are alumni. But I wrestle with that phrasing, especially it up on the wall or in the bulletin, as people, even myself coming in, and maybe this is my own church hurt and my own thoughts and my own issues that I need to work out with. But I just want to be honest and upfront with you, and then I want us to go through scripture and wrestle with this as well. My qualm with it, my struggle with it is thinking about those who have experienced church hurt before, or have never walked into a church building, or maybe have kind of just put their toes into everything, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. On the surface, and now without breaking it down, with just looking at that phrasing, it can come off a little legalistic, just in my opinion. Again, perfect day to keep your Connect cards. Read me a new one if I'm completely off base here. I'll be so excited to read these before the baccalaureate service this afternoon. But I just really am wrestling with, and you can kind of tell because I'm flustered through doing this today. I really struggled this week and throughout this time of really understanding, you know, how can we articulate this in a way that comes off exactly what we're trying to say. Because we truly believe, and I believe all of us who claim to follow Jesus with their mind, heart, soul, and spirit as much as they can, would agree with that phrase that we want to be able to live off of the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. We don't want to add, subtract, take anything away from it. But at this time, I'm really just wrestling with this feeling of, you know, with that kind of phrasing, if we land that way first with people, it tells them that you have to, that everything has to be perfect, everything has to be orderly, fashionable, and to our liking, and if you don't believe the exact way that we do, then you can find somewhere else to go. Again, that's just my opinion, my feelings, and I still love the phrase, I still use the phrase within the fellowship. But I want to caution us to believe, because I really believe and really wrestling through, I think there's a piece that's missing out of that phrase. Because this isn't scripture, because the Bible, nothing but the Bible isn't scripture, we can twist and manipulate it however we want as people. And so I want to help us to really solidify this in a way that really helps us to believe the truth. And again, I believe the truth that the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. But I want to add a little bit of context, really wrestle through that a little bit, without getting too wordy and scholarly through this familiar passage that speaks on the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing on nothing but the Bible. So now that I've ruffled all your feathers, now that I know I'm going to have a stack of these ready to go, let's pray and ask God to be with us and help us to see where we might be lacking, even in my own heart, my own stuff going through, and see how we can grow in this area if we rely on God's word to teach us exactly what we need. So let me pray for us. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you first and foremost for your word. We're so thankful that you have given to us this book of your truth, of your voice speaking directly to us. And Lord, I pray that as we walk through this today, Lord, I pray I didn't ruffle too many feathers, but help us to see in a new way how we can live out and share this book with those around us. Help me, use me as your mouthpiece this morning. Remove any fear or frustration or confusion or pain in my own heart and replace it with your truth and your grace. Be with us, and I pray that that same as well for all of us today. Be with us, help us to understand what it means to be in this book, and not only to be in it, but how to live it. We give this time to you, and it's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're going to be in a familiar passage that talks about God's Word. If you're thinking of a passage that it talks about the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, this would be one of those that you would point to. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 14 to 17 together. Since we're jumping into the end of this letter, this is another letter from Paul to Timothy as he is encouraging him to build up the church, carry on the legacy that Paul has been instructing and giving to Timothy and those that he is ministering to along in this long spiritual journey. So again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, you can follow along on the screens beside me. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you learned, convinced of, as you know those who learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture, this is probably where we'll catch most of you. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I add those other two verses 14 and 15 there, to really help us to focus on and really answer these two questions that I've been wrestling with outside of the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible kind of slogan. When it comes to God's Word, since we're focusing on this teaching aspect of our vision, really the questions of what I was really wrestling with was, how does God's Word come to us? You know, how do we take this word in, and what does it actually do for us? What is the benefit of us saying that this is our lifeline? How do we get it? How do we get it? What does it do for us? And so, before we even look at that, I want us to stop and look at this truth that this starts off there in verse 16 by saying all Scripture. And that can actually be translated or focused on God's words. All that means all Scripture is God's word. He's breathed them out. And what the reality of this, first and foremost, before we start breaking this down and answering those two questions, is the truth is that we have the words of God, the actual words of God, at our fingertips. That we have the words of God that He spoke. The Creator of the cosmos gave us His spoken, delivered word to you and to me. What a humbling, powerful thought that we have the words of our Savior given to us, recorded, carefully transcribed, and brought to us over 2,000, 6,000, however many thousands of years when they were first spoken and written. We have a collection, not just one simple book, but it's a collection of 66 books of generation over generation telling God's redemptive story. And it's given to each one of us. How powerful is that thought before we even break this down any further? That you, me, we have looked it up that the average American household has 4.7 Bibles in their house. 4.7. I didn't know you could get a 0.7. Maybe that's just a tattered up, beat up Bible. But the average American household has 4.7 of books, of the 66 books laid out for us, telling us God's redemptive story. But the question is, now, we have this limited knowledge and wisdom of God's truth to us. Really what we have is this collection of generational stories of God interacting and revealing himself to us and speaking directly to us and giving us direction and guidance on how to live and bring us back to himself and how he is the true hero of the entire story. We have in our grasp 4.7 averaged in our household, a limitless wealth of knowledge and wisdom and truth. You could call this book an all-you-can-eat buffet of love, wisdom, truth, and knowledge. But the question is, how can we get this? How can we go to this book of an all-you-can-eat buffet of goodness, of guidance, of truth, of life? How does this happen? Because we don't just lay this book open and magically just soak in everything that comes out of it. Oh, we don't come here and just look at it and read a couple verses and say, oh, we figured it all out, we can go home, we don't have to come back. So the question is, how does this happen? How do we obtain this knowledge, this wisdom, this truth? And I would argue that one of the best ways that Scripture sticks with us is through our relationships. One of the ways that Scripture sticks with us through our relationships, and that's why I put verses 14 and 15 here, because it tells us that as Paul is instructing Timothy, he's reminding him that someone has taught you this important message, this important truth. They've done their due diligence of raising you. Your mother and your grandmother have done the hard work of carrying this message to you from infancy. That they lived this out and they shared it with you. And isn't that true of each one of us here? That someone had to teach you who God is, why we are, what sin is, why we're separated from him, and how we get back. And that starts off in the easy answers that everybody knows from Sunday school. Jesus, Bible, God. Right? Then that begins to develop, and you ask good questions, and you learn more, and you understand, and it's given to you, and you see it lived out in those around you. So the greatest way, this relational gap is maybe where we're missing in our slogan. And I'm not here, I don't have any power or authority over our fellowship. They rolled out the red carpet for us at last year's conference because we were new. That's about it. they love and support us and care for us and help to guide us. But I don't have that kind of leeway of changing it or updating it. In reality, getting to this point, it doesn't need to be changed as long as we understand it and carry it the right way. And so I believe that a key aspect that we're missing in a lot of our teaching, a lot of us looking at this book and learning from it, is missing that teaching component, is that we need to remember that we've been taught this by others. And when it's tough to, when we build up and learn through these areas, we also recognize, you know, that life is still going to be tough. There's still going to be moments where we're not going to have all the answers. And in those tough moments, instead of being discouraged and pulled away, even in these couple of verses, we're told to remember those who taught us the truths and see how they live out those circumstances, how they live out what they believe to be true from God's word. And so not only do I have a confession, I'm getting a lot, I know I'm getting a lot of these this week, ready? I have a request for you all too. I have a really important request on this one. You guys have loved on us, cared for us, and that was shown to us this weekend by the ladies and many of you putting together a wonderful baby shower for Natalie and the baby and for myself as well. One of the greatest gifts outside of that love and support and care that I know all of you will continue to do. One of the greatest gifts you can give me as a little bit of peace of mind as a new dad raising a pastor's kid is letting him first and foremost be a kid. You know, being able to know that he has a place and a people that care and love and support him, but also can let him be a kid, you know. That, you know, he's good. My hope and my prayer is that he's comfortable running up and down these pew aisles and making a ruckus every once in a while. But he has a good mom that will keep him in line and a fly swatted at that. but one of the greatest outside of that, one of the greatest gifts you could give our son is modeling your relationship with God to him. Because what's going to keep even a pastor's kid who gets a bad rap that may or may not be perfect, spoiler alert, he's not going to be. One of the things that's going to keep him in love with the church, in love with his Savior, he's going to get that teaching and that modeling from Natalie, not from me. one of the greatest ways that he's going to fall in love with Christ's church is seeing Christ's people living out their faith and talking about their faith, talking about the circumstances that show up. And the reality is, at one point when he wises up and realizes that, hey, Dad, you get paid to do this. You get paid to talk about Jesus. You get paid to go out in the community and do this. But what's really going to solidify his faith and his ability to hone in and to carry on the next generation of the church after we're all long and gone is knowing, wow, there was people at my church growing up that loved the Lord. They weren't perfect. They had their issues, and just like everybody else does. But they loved talking about Jesus. When they got together, when they sat down around the table, they talked about what God was teaching them. When they were discouraged, one another would come along alongside another one of them and say, here's what God's word says about that. Let me pray for you. Because in real, the true reality, and not just out of my own selfishness of, hey, I want to be able to raise a kid who loves coming to church, wants to be here, is the reality is that we aren't going to grow as a church if we aren't comfortable talking about God in this place. Because the reality is, if we don't talk about God and we don't teach God and we don't focus on those and build up those relationships about how we are personally in God's word and how that's affecting us and building us up, we're never going to talk about it outside of these walls. That's the reality. We're never going to talk about it outside of this place if we aren't building the conversation and sharing with one another what God has taught me and living that out amongst us. So my encouragement to us, yes, we can have good, I love to continue to talk about the weather and the good things that are happening in our lives, but we got to go a little bit deeper than just the surface level as a church. That if we truly believe the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, then we should be talking about the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, amen? All right, that's enough of. That's my heart. It truly is. Is that what I desire for us as a church, that I am the dumbest person in the room. that's the truth. When it comes to God's word, I want to be the dumbest one in the room. I want to learn from all of you. I know that you're in God's word, that you're living it out, that you're studying it, and that you love God's word, that you love the whole Bible, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. I want you to tell me about it. I want you to tell each other about it. What are you learning in there? What is keeping you aflame? And so I want us to break down these words, these phrases, to kind of help us to see, because we started to answer that first question of what does it mean, how do we get the Bible to us? How does it begin to penetrate our hearts? I bet the best way that it sticks to us is through our relationships. I want us to then break down this section here that says, that starting in verse 16, I want to read it for us again. All scripture, the whole Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Instead of breaking down the big picture, head knowledge, scholarly examples of this, I want us to practically see what each of these phrases mean here and why, how this comes across to us, what we get out of going to God's Word. And so that first idea is that it teaches us. God's Word teaches us. You're kind of thinking, well, duh. I mean, that's what we're here to do a little bit. We want to learn from this book, if just like any other skill or idea, to be able to grasp it and to put it into practice in our lives, you have to be able to be taught it. So this idea, that it helps us, this book, even in the most obscure areas of it, helps us to understand our world, our struggles, and ultimately our solution to those struggles. And we can constantly come to it and learn and find fresh and new ideas of how it speaks to us. You know, if you're here with us on Wednesday night, we worked through a process that allowed God to quiet our hearts and to listen. And each one of us received, as we read through the same passage, each one of us was touched and whispered or brought a thought picture to our minds and our hearts of what exactly God is revealing to us. So this book helps us to do that, and it does it even though we might not know all the details of our lives. It helps us to get the ideas across. So the first idea is that it teaches us. It's the main area of how we can learn from God's Word. Then the second one isn't that great, but it's worth us looking at, and the idea is that it rebukes us. And that's a phrase, that's a churchy word, that phrase, but it's the idea that we're confronted. I like how other pastors say that Scripture is like a mirror. Even in James, it talks about this a little bit as well, that the Scripture is like a mirror, that we look into it and it helps us to see the imperfections in our own lives and our own circumstances and then do something about it. And sometimes, you know, you need that good gut punch from the Lord, helping us to wake up to circumstances we may have allowed to slip in our minds and our hearts. And really, this is a gift to us. We always think of negative aspects in this. We think of them in the wrong way. But this is truly a gift. As a loving parent would rebuke a child for not going to the stove, you know, you don't want them to hurt themselves or to cause pain or more damage than needed to be done. But the next one gives us a little bit more hope, is that it corrects. Because not only are we given a rebuke of don't do this, we're given the guiding light back to the path that we need to return to. So not only does it help us to see where we might be struggling, where we might be off base, but it helps to guide us back to where we need to be. It gives us the right answers, the right section, and how to think, act, and respond there. And the next, it kind of similar with this, it helps train us. This trains us. It helps us to become disciples who make disciples. Because this is our manual to do so. That as we are learning from it, as we are sharing, as we are living this out, as we are experiencing this, we also help to guide and use this as our roadmap, as our ability to respond in the parameters that God has set for us. Kind of our barometer, if you will. And again, all this sounds great, grand, and wonderful, but this is probably one of the biggest sections there, is this next one, is that it equips us. It equips us to do exactly what? It tells us that we be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, God's Word gives us, even in the weird aspects and the weird stories, it helps us to give us exactly what we need for whatever situation we may be in. Think of it as a massive toolbox or a massive tool chest. You know, I'm not going to need a socket wrench to handle fixing. I don't even know what a socket wrench does. Help me out. I know what a socket wrench is. I was just trying to be nice to you. I'm not going to use a socket wrench to replace drywall. Thank you. I helped a little bit. You could, Bud will vouch for me. I helped a little bit at the house, okay? But the reality is that in the right circumstance, in the right moments, God's word can help us in the right way, right when we need it. But the idea here as well is that not only will he give us, God will give us the right words, the right opportunities, the right lessons to learn, he also gives us these to do what? Every good work. Because the reality is, the truth is, it doesn't mean very much for us to say the whole Bible, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. I promise I'll get that one right sometime. It doesn't mean much for us if we don't live it out. It doesn't matter much if we don't live it out. If it doesn't affect how we talk, how we respond, how we sing, how we show up, how we live our lives, how we respond to one another, then we can just pack it up and we'll go home. But it has to start in that section. I firmly believe it has to start with us living it out, understanding it, sharing it with one another, because, spoiler alert, this is a safe place to do that, because that's kind of what we focus on, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. This is a great place for us to ask those good questions, to wrestle with. I'm living this circumstance. I don't know what's going on. I need some guidance. I need some wisdom. And somebody else can say, oh, hey, I've been reading this section of scripture, and God's really been showing me and revealing this to me. Imagine if each one of us lived that out. Imagine if each one of us, when we came to this place that is our sanctuary, not just this room specifically, but the entire church, and say, I'm really struggling in this area, and I don't know which way to go next. And thankfully, we have a wonderful body of believers who can lean on one another and look and glean from this book and say, here's where we can start. Here's what I've been learning. Here's how we can pray for you and put this into practice and live this out. So just imagine if we began to just look at God's word in that way. Imagine what church would look like if we were contagious about talking about God's word. That during our meet and greet time, our connection time, you're talking about God's word so much that I don't even have a chance to come up here and babble for 30 minutes. That would be a joy to me. That I believe, is a powerful opportunity for us. So my encouragement for us, it has to start with the individual. It has to start with the individual. The question is, do you believe this book to be true? Have you built your life upon it? Do you seek it out for opportunities to be taught, to be rebuked, to be corrected, to be trained, and to be equipped? Is this truly in your life, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible? Is that how you're living it out? Are you in this book? Are you comfortable enough sharing that with those around you to give that encouragement, to learn from one another, to train one another up, to equip one another for every good work? If that's not where you're at, I'd encourage you just to start praying this simple prayer as you set aside a time to be in this book. And I'd love to be able to give you some opportunities and some pointers and some help if you're just kind of looking at this and saying, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to go. But if you're, as you go to this book, I encourage you over this next week, just pray these simple ideas. Lord, teach me. Lord, correct me. Lord, encourage me. Lord, teach me. Lord, correct me. And Lord, encourage me. Are we living out and teaching? Are we living it out? Are we loving it? Are we living it out and teaching it and sharing it with those around us? Because our lips are a missing piece. Just like Timothy had Lois and Eunice to carry and teach him and raise him up in that truth, are we teaching and equipping and training those around us in the same way? Are we living this out in our own lives? Is this where we come to for our all? Let's pray together. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your truth, your word that you have graciously given to us, of which we don't deserve. The true reality is, Lord, we don't deserve your written, spoken word given to us that foretells and shares your story and how you are the central hero, the central focus, and the all-encompassing idea behind these words. We thank you for the gift of being able to understand it, to have 4.7 copies at home. But Lord, I pray that we would be people who are hungry for it, that would desire to be in it, to share it, that it would be something that we desire to talk about first and foremost, that we are people who say, Lord, so on fire for you, so in love with you, that we desire to spend time understanding and learning and gleaming and sharing your truth with those around us. Thank you for establishing the church in a way where this is a safe place to begin those conversations. Because, Lord, the reality is we're never going to talk about those things with our unbelieving friends, family members, if we're not comfortable talking about those with our church family. So give us that courage. Give us that encouragement to look at your word as something worth spending our time focusing on. Help us to use our relationships to weave your story in as we interact with those around us. And help us in our own personal time with you to see and to come to you with an open mind and a heart that says, Lord, teach me. Help me to understand and pull away one simple truth from my time with you. Correct me, Lord, if anything in here that is not of you comes to the surface, Lord, correct me and help guide me back onto your straight and narrow path. And Lord, encourage me. Lord, so often in this world we are downcast. We are living in fear and anxiety. Lord, I pray that we would walk away from your word encouraged. Lord, help us as your people to live out the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. We thank you again for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.